Hey everyone, welcome to episode 71 of Thomas and the Bible. This is the first one I've ever Ustreamed. I'm currently Ustreaming. You stream, I stream, we all stream for I stream. I think it's working. I have no idea. Right now you're on the, this is a complete mind F, because I think this is still a child-friendly podcast for some reason. I don't know why. Probably because I'm too lazy to put the explicit tag on it. But anyway, because I'm talking to audio-wise, I don't know who I'm talking to, what year it is, what if humans still roam the earth or not. Like, maybe we're gone, but the audio from the podcast is still going. But video-wise, I'm talking to no one except for because I somehow could not link it to my Facebook. I thought I did, but it wasn't working. I don't know. I was just about to try to do it again, but screw it. It's not working. I don't care. I'll link it later. So we're on, 2 Samuel. This is going to be a new experience. I don't have my, I don't have access to my, I'm on two computers. So this is weird. Who cares? You don't care about this. You don't care. No one cares. Let's start with 2 Samuel. So we're on chapter 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So, if you remember the last episode, he finally killed Saul. Or that might have been 2 episodes ago, I don't know. And so he's David's king, and now some different tribes of Israel are coming out of the woodwork to say, like, well, we know you were the real king all along, so we're going to support you, and that's fine. I'm sure as king you're like, yeah, all right, I'll take that. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither. Thinking, David cannot come in hither. So that was a confusing sentence. I had to read through that one a few times. But pretty much in Jerusalem, the Jebusites said, there's no way you're taking over our town, because, you know, you're not even going to get past the blind people and the lame people that are on, like, the outskirts of town. That's how much you are not taking over our town right now, like, that much. But anyway, and then the next sentence is, Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, and the same as the city of David. So I think he just did it anyway. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and on inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees. He sent some trees, like they're just carrying these trees. They're like, oh my God, how are we carrying these entire trees? And carpenters and masons, and they lived in forts in the trees, because that's what they do. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem, because that's what you do when you figure God is, you know, God wants you to be king. You're like, well, I think, you know, it's fairly certain that God wants me to be king over all Israel, so I'm going to bring on some more concubines, bring on the wives. And there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of, this is always a bad start to a sentence, or to a, could be a whole chapter, could be a whole book sometimes. And these were the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shabab, and Nathan, and Solomon. Ibhar also, and Elishua, and Nepheg, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Eliphethet. So like 30. I don't know. I wasn't counting. But when the Philistines heard that they anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David, and David heard of it, and he went down to the hold. Incidentally, by the way, this is another Ustream-related thing. You now have solid proof that I do no editing. I'm just going to go through it. I don't even care. Sometimes, see, like that drink of water. I'm not editing that out. That's in there. That's printed. Sometimes I pause it, and I might do that, but then the stream will have the benefit of like still seeing whatever I did. Maybe I scratch my butt or something like while I pause the audio. Which doesn't, that makes no sense now that I think about it. Should be the other way around. But yeah, so now this is solid proof that no editing. I'm just doing it live. Do it live! This fucking thing sucks! Where was I? Maybe I should put the reading up on the video too, so you guys, if I ever have people following, when I can figure out how to get it to broadcast on my Facebook, you guys can remind me, like, you were here. You were here. You were talking about this until you went on a tangent for 30 minutes about nothing. All the Philistines came to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So it's always funny. I always like thinking of how God must feel, even though we know, you know, you and I know, with the benefit of brains, which is not something they, you know, had too much of back then, that since he's timeless and all powerful and all that, he doesn't have any feelings or desires, and he really can't be doing, he definitely cannot be the way he's portrayed in this terrible book. But let's just assume that he is, like, he's the way that people think he is in this book. And he's, you have to imagine he's either, he must either have like 50 million things, like hobbies, you know, like golf. I don't know. Some, you could, he's got, he could have every hobby. Golf, is there another hobby I can't think of? I wish I were better at thinking of things. You know, antiquing, that kind of thing. Because if he doesn't have a bunch of hobbies, he must be really bored, because he just waits around forever. Like, you know, now you're going to, listeners who are not watching, which is everyone right now, in my time, you're just, whenever I'm making probably no sounds or weird sounds, that means I'm probably acting something out now. So you'll just have to go watch or just imagine what I'm doing. And when you do, if you do have to imagine it, please imagine something incredibly funny so that, I don't know, you'll probably have a better experience than the viewer. But anyway, God is probably sitting there. Let's assume God is how he is in this book. Let's assume this is real. This is right. God's there like, And then someone stumbles around, like David. Someone goes and prays to God and asks him, "Hey God, and God's like, "Yeah, yeah, what? Yeah, what is it? What? You need something? Do you want to do something? You want to go out? What do you want? David says, "Should I go fight the Philistines? Is that something that you want me to do?" And God's like, "Yeah, you could do that." David's like, "Okay, thanks. Hey, bye, God. See you later. I'm gonna go do that." God's like, "Well, no, wait. All right, whatever." And then he goes back to just sitting there all day and night. Like, what? He must have the boringest life, because we know that God only pays attention to this one region, you know, because no one else in the world wrote about talking to this very same God, right? It's only these people. It's only this, like, select few people, you know? So God's just kind of like, "Oh, God, I'm bored. Oh, me, I'm bored." So, yeah. Where was I? I was on 20. And David came to Baal Perazim. And David, you know what God does in his spare time is just makes up completely ridiculous names for all these things so that I have to read them. He's like, what? Now that David hasn't talked to me for 2 weeks and I've just been sitting here twiddling my thumbs, I wonder what, I know, the name of the next place will be B-A-A-L-P-E. E7 ampersand exclamation point 5PXXXZZZCHIM. And then I have to like pronounce that when I'm trying to read it. That's that one must be that's the only explanation for how stupid these things are. God, that's the only thing he can do. That's all he has left to do right now. And the Philistines, oh sorry, I skipped. The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Yeah. That's a lie, because we know the real reason he called it that is because God was bored and said, hey, in the last couple of years of being sitting here bored, I came up with a really terrible name for this place for you to use. That's what happened. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. I don't know what that means. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Yeah, what? What do you want? You want to do something? You want to go fishing? You want to shoot some baskets? What? What do you want to do? You want to talk about it? You want to just talk? We can talk. Let's just talk. I don't know if you know this, David, but I made things. I made everything. All the things. I can tell you anything you want, really. I mean, you're my chosen one. You could ask me how like molecules work, like what's going on, between, you know, all that kind of stuff. Anything. But David said, hey, should I go to this place? The Lord's like, this time he's just bored, so he says, no, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Labyrinth. Anyway, David inquired of the Lord. He said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, and to thy own stealth bestir. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the hosts of the Philistines, because I'm bored, and I want to do me some smiting. And David did so, and the Lord as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. And that's the end of the first chapter of our reading, which is actually the fifth chapter of 2 Samuel, and therefore we are on the sixth chapter. Again, David gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up thence the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and bought it and brought it out of the house of I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time with it. God has really done a number on these today. Abinadab, that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio. It's like Ohio, but with an A. Ahio. The sons of Abinadab drave the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which I just want to say like Ahmadinejad every time, so that I get my brain like skips like a record when I start to say Abinadab. I want to put in another syllable. Which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and on timbrels and cornets and cymbals. God was like, oh my God, this music is terrible. Would you stop it? There's day in and day out. They just were playing, dang, dang, playing all the, no one knew how to do anything. They just, you know, they just did because they're the people of God and they figured that nothing they can do is wrong. It's a true story. I talked to God about it and he said it was one of the worst weeks of his long life. And when they came to Nacon's, I don't know if you pronounce CHs or not, Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand. Where's, make sure it can be seen. His hand. This is weird. It's really counterintuitive. There we go. Here's another hand. I have two hands, fortunately. His hand to the ark and took hold of it for the auction, shook it. I can just animate everything that happens. But it's like not where I think it would be, I guess because of the pointing of the camera. Anyway, this is very interesting to those who are just listening to the audio. For the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. So this is great. So what happened was, the oxen who were carrying the ark, like, shook. They went like, oh, crazy. They probably said that when they shook. And the ark started to fall, and this loyal, amazing, gentle, kind, heroic citizen reached out. Damn it, I still can't do that. Reached out and held the ark. Like, so, this is really helping, I know, those watching this. Held it like this. Like this. It's inverse from what I am, which is, it's the opposite of a mirror. So, I mean, I know that seems like it's not that hard to figure out, but just the way it, also the angles are not what I would think they would be. Oh, I can bless you, though. Anyway. So yeah, he reached out, he held the ark, stopped it from falling into ox shit. And, so naturally, you know, he was probably rewarded, right? And congratulated on his quick thinking, given a high five or two. You know, wouldn't you, that's probably, let's see. No, killed. He was murdered on the spot, killed on the spot, just bam, dead. No one touches the ark. That's rule A, rule A1 sauce. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that. That was years and years ago, but yeah, no one's allowed to touch the ark. Even if it's going to fall in a pile of orc. I wanted to say orc shit, but it's not orcs. I don't think they had orcs carrying. Might have been orcs. No, I don't think it was orcs. What's the word I'm going for? Ox. Ox. That's it. Sorry, I don't come into contact. I come into contact with more orcs in my daily life than oxen. So that's why I thought of the word orc. Yeah, so even if it's falling in a pile of orc shit or ox shit, whatever kind is on the ground, you can't stop it because, you know, quick thinking. Where am I? And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, And David was displeased. To his credit, he was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Peri-Uzzah. Perizuzah. Wow, that actually almost makes sense. That's the first one I ever have understand. Is it like perish? Like, could that be some Latin word? Like, well, it would be, I don't know, whatever the hell language. Could it be some root like pere, like perish, you know? Zuza, Perez. Or is it just Perez? Like, is someone else named Perez? Perez died and Uzzah also died. So it's Perizuzah. Anyway, that's the first one of those that has made any sense. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord unto him, unto the city of David. But David carried it aside. How did they load the ark initially? I want to know if they're not allowed to touch it. How did that work? Was there a forklift involved? Did David do it? No, David's not even there because he said that it needs to come to him. He's shipping it, right? Or something. How did they do that? I wonder. That just wasn't important at the time. So David would not remove the ark, as I said, but David carried it aside into the house of Obededom, the Gittite. So I guess maybe he did carry it, whatever. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obededom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obededom and all his household. And it was told David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obededom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark from the house of Obededom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. How do you dance with all your might? I can't do it. I'm trying to do a dance that fits in this screen. I don't know. I'm not a big dancer. Someone dancing with all their might probably looks not good dancing. And David was girded with a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. By the way, when I started several chapters ago, even a book ago, joking about David being gay because he clearly had the hots for Jonathan. I never dreamed that there would be such a wealth of evidence to corroborate this story. Leaping and dancing? Well, just leap. Well, dancing. Straight men don't often dance. You know, it happens, of course. But leaping. I don't think straight men ever leap. And once again, I'm completely pro gay rights and everything. I'm not trying to judge anyone, but just general trends I've noticed in life. I don't think straight people leap a lot. I think for no reason that I can think of, some words sound more gay than other words. I think, like, is that just me? Is that just because I was brought up in a small town, you know, with a bunch of shit kickers who hate gays? I didn't, but I was brought up that way, kind of. But anyway, is that just me? Like, does leap? Because if you tell me someone he leapt instantly, that's way less manly than someone who jumped. He jumped. He leapt. Jumped. I could, maybe I'm potentially coloring your perception by maybe saying the words slightly differently. You know, it's possible. Leapt. Jumped. but yeah, saying that he leapt around and danced with all his might, that's not doing anything to disabuse me of the notion that he's totally gay. But I think that's interesting. I wonder if he was. I mean, you know, what if he was? Maybe he was. He totally could have been. The way he pined over Jonathan so much when Jonathan died, and he literally said the love of Jonathan was greater than the love of women for him. So, I think maybe, I'm not crazy. Maybe I'm onto something here. Give me just a second here. I want to share that I'm streaming. Is it working? Did it work? Sorry. I apologize to anyone who's listening to this and seeing. Damn it. I want to show people that I'm broadcasting here, and it's just refusing to work. It says it's doing it. But it doesn't. Switch. I don't know. Sorry. Apologize for that dead time. Whatever. Share. It just doesn't work. I click share. Maybe I'm clicking share as in sunny and share. That could be my problem. Yeah, it's just not going to. All right, whatever. Apologies for that dead time. I just thought I'd try to get people to watch me. Where was I? I was on that one. Oh, he was leaping. He leapt. And they brought these. No, I really actually forget which one I was on. I was on 17. And they brought the ark in, and they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it at his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people. I got distracted. I got these ads that come up on this thing. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as the men, saying, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens and of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncover himself. So I don't know if you could tell, but that was sarcasm. Michal, who I thought was married to David at some point, but I could be wrong. Maybe she was married to Saul or something. Michal was like, oh, that was so great how gay you were today, in a very sarcastic tone. Wow, you were really gay today. You were, good job on all the gay. you know, she really is essentially saying that, like, oh, you're dancing and in a clearly sarcastic way. Screw it. I'm trying it one more time. Is this working? Test. I'm trying to share. Anyway, also to anyone who who's listening and wants to be and wants to watch the recorded video of this, my channel will be. Oh, great! Of course, it's yeah. Okay, it's not working. Okay, I figured it out. It's definitely not working. It's sharing on the wrong page, of course. So I'll give up on that. Sorry for the downtime again. But my Ustream is just Thomas and the Bible. You can just search it. It's ustream.tv/channel/Thomas-and-the-Bible. But I'm sure if you just go to Ustream and Google it, you can find this video. So you can watch it if you want. But as far as this, tonight's anyone watching live, that's just not going to happen. So I don't care. All right, I'm done messing with that, so apologies. I will move on. So yeah, the Meikle's like, oh well, good job on all the gay. And David said unto Meikle, it was before the Lord, in his sassy, probably sassy gay self. It was before the Lord, which chose me. No, I'm not gonna do it. It's too offensive. Which chose me, but I don't mean it to be offensive, but it probably sounds offensive. Before thy father and before his house. To appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. But I'll be honest with you, that's pretty snarky. That's pretty sassy. He said like, oh yeah, no, I was pretty gay. Hey, you know who the Lord chose me over? Your father, for one. Just an example. Like I'm higher on the list than your father. And this weird mirror thing is screwing me up. I just want to get the hair out of my face. And then I started looking and it's backwards. So it put tons of hair in my face. Anyway, even hair that I didn't have, just other people's hair, just tons of hair. So he did say that. He's like, oh, thank you. Thank you for the compliment. Where's your dad that I killed? Where is he? Where? Ah, man, I don't remember. to appoint me ruler over all the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord, and I will be as gay as I want. And I will be yet more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of all the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Meikle, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. And that'll show her, no children. Forbid her from taking part in a terribly painful and potentially fatal, you know, act of childbirth in those days. Yeah, so that's God's punishment, no children. So that's the end of chapter 6, on to chapter 7. And it came to pass, straight here. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night. So I think he just said, you ever do that when you're reading and you're thinking and you don't know what you just read? It turns out you can do that reading aloud too, on a podcast, on a Ustream. That actually can happen. So what the hell happened? You tell me. I don't know. What was that? The Lord, something. The king said unto Nathan, he said like, well, I have this cedar house. Again, I have to get my hands in the camera. I have this cedar house, but the ark only has curtains to live in, and not a cedar house. Maybe if I was further away, would that be better? I have a cedar house. Let's tilt this way. I have a cedar house, yet the ark only has curtains. this must be way worse if you're not watching. So he's like, I want to build that ark a house, which is kind of an odd thought, but I guess it makes sense. See that ark? I want to build it a house. And Nathan said, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee, and I'm a kiss-up, and I just want you to be happy. Because if you're happy, I'm happy. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan. So now apparently Nathan's becoming a prophet, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt build me an ark for the house. Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Question mark. He's like dictating what the hell is the name of that shit? A telegram. Telegram. There we go. It's been a while since I sent a telegram. He's like, Nathan, you there? Nathan's like, yes. What, Lord? I want you to give the following telegram to David. Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Stop. Where? Question mark. Stop. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children out of Israel of Egypt. Stop. Even to this day. Stop. I don't know what this was. The stop just the end of a sentence, or is it? I don't actually know. Like I said, it's been a while. It's 10 years since I worked as a telegram person. And Nathan's like doing the, which I think everyone just makes up. There's no way. I was going to say Braille. What the fuck? Morse code. There's no way Morse code is real. I think it's just, and everyone on the other side is just like, I think he's saying the Germans are invading. I don't know. It's just a bunch of nonsense. It's just clicks. Hey, supervisor, this is just clicking and beeping. This is not words. How am I supposed to tell you what the message is? I'm just beep, beep. Here, I'll tell you the message. It's beep, 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 beep. There's no way. I know it is real, but there's no way that's real. Anyways, so he's telling Nathan, I don't know why he can't talk to David. He just got, you know, occasionally has to talk through someone else for no reason. But he's like, whereas I have not dwelt in any house, stop. Since I just like saying stop in random places because it sounds like I know what I'm doing. Since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, stop. Even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle, stop. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people of Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Question mark. Stop and transmission. So I guess he's essentially sending David a telegram saying, you don't need to build me a house. Like, have I ever... He's like, you know me, David, we've been together a long time. And even though I'm not telling you this personally for some reason that I don't know, I'd like to think we're very close. And in all my history, which you very well know, have I ever asked to have a house built for me? So that's stop and transmission. Now therefore, but Morse code is really the coolest thing. Someday that is on, if I didn't hate the term, my bucket list. I want to know Morse code. I really do. I like the idea that people are going, like you can tap and you blink spy movies, you blink Morse code. Which I think someone would just be like, do you have something in your eye? What is the contact lens? Do you wear contact? You know, you're just blinking. You have to respond to their question about the eye in Morse code. You're like, no. You're blinking out like, no, it's not my eye. It's Morse code. But it's so cool. I need to learn that. It's the greatest thing ever. But really, I would be the people in the transit. Hey, sir, this is just a bunch of... There's a message here. It says... Beep, 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 beep. I don't know. Is this Roadrunner? Is he a friend of yours? What is this message? I don't know. It's just nonsense. It's beep, 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 beep. It's not even a good song. I don't know what this is. Am I tuned into the radio? Where was I? I don't know. Okay. I know where I am. I'm right there. Now, therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David. I'm going to say his name is now. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. So, sorry, that wasn't... This is a new transmission. This is another telegram. Stop. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. Stop. And I have cut off all thine... Oops, I just bumped my mic. All thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and have no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And Nathan's like, I'm not going to remember all that. Can you just tell him? Why are you telling me? I have a paper to pen. I remember something about, there's no pen. I get it. How do we write in this day and age? God, can you tell me that so I can go on with this pantomime? You said something like, you said, David, I got it. Hold on. David, don't, house. That's all I have. Was there more? I don't know. God's like, yeah, there's several pages more, but you ruined that. sorry, my paper's getting messed up. That doesn't matter to you listeners. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers and the fishes. And I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. And I will establish his kingdom. That doesn't sound good. Out of thy bowels. It's like alien or something. He must have been pretty disturbed at this news. Out of my bowel. Well, first of all, why me? Like, can't my wife give birth? One of my many wives? One of my 60,000 wives? Can't they give birth? And also, maybe they could use their uterus. Just a thought. I mean, their bowels. That doesn't sound good. I mean, the baby's just going to, eat their, live in their stomach and then just jump out and be like, hey, I'm here. And the mom's dead. And that doesn't sound like a good system. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men. David's like, oh, I like this talk. And with the stripes of children of men. And it's interesting. I don't want to get too much into this right now, but it's something else I've been thinking about with a Bart D. Ehrman book I've been listening to, because he's a freaking genius. Knows everything there is to know about the Bible. And it's funny because there's all these places where post-mortem, as it were, Christians went back and found ways that the Old Testament was actually referring to Jesus. I've mentioned this before a little bit, but now I have an even different understanding of it now. This is one of those places it says in the notes, like, oh, they're talking about Jesus. Get it? They're talking about Jesus. But then another note says, and this is what Bart D. Ehrman says, like, all these all these passages like this, they're talking about somebody else. They're like, in this one, it's talking about Solomon later on. So I think that's funny. That'll be something to keep an eye on for later. Like, ooh, I will chasten him. I will be his father. He shall be my son. That's Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. Except that no one thought that at the time and even after. And there was someone else in the Bible that applied to, named Solomon. So I thought that was interesting. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. You know, they said established earlier. What's the difference between established and established? Because if there is a difference, I wish we still had that. Something sounds way better about established. You established that house, boy. I don't know why I just said it like that. I've been calling my cat boy like I'm some old southern boy. Because I call my cat boy, just normal boy. And then after a while, that, you know, I'm nuts. So I have to call him all different things. So after a while, I was like, boy, you get over here. And it wasn't meant to be like a slave owner thing, just like a southern, like, I'm mad at his child thing. So that, just to clear that up. Where is my cat? Oh, he's on the couch behind me. One of these days he might make a guest appearance. If I get enough likes or something, I don't know. When I'm talking, he settles down. If I were quiet, he might like be like, meh, 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 feed me. But if I'm talking, I think he's too scared or I don't know. He's just polite, I guess. He's like, oh, you got a show going. I know. No, I'll just lick my leg. Like, I'll do the straight up leg thing. I can't get my leg in camera, but they do the leg gets up on their. Here, I'll just straighten my leg in a really awkward way. I'm trying to go like this. No, I know. You got a show to do. I'm going to beg for food later, but you know, right now I'm going to put my leg out like this and go. Anyway, love that they do that. Good old cats. Okay, I think I'm here. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, Lord God? I don't know. And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? He's being all modest, like, who am I to deserve all this? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of men, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? He speaks in the third person. That's another kind of a thing that fabulous people might do. What can David say more unto thee? I'm David, by the way. For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. I always love imagining God actually listening to prayer. Like, well, for one, I always just love imagining, like, God. Like, what if God? It's funny right away. And then just thinking of him sound, you know, what if there is a God and he's listening to this prayer? You know, he talks to David, right? And he's listening to this prayer and David's saying, like, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. And God's like, yeah, I know. Like, thanks, I guess, but I know all. Why are you telling me things about myself that I know? I know that. Neither is there any God beside thee. Yeah, I know. Yeah, confirm. I don't know. What's the purpose of this message? I don't get it. According to all that we have heard with our ears. Yeah, plus I talk to you. Like, there's what do you mean heard with your ears? Like, hey, like hearsay about me? You know, I have talked to you, right? It's me. It's God. Why are you telling me these things? But it's stuff like this that really shows that people are people who pray really know that they're talking to themselves in the back of their mind. Because these are psychotic things that you say to appease some made-up part of your brain. You know, you don't actually say these things to a being that you think is all-powerful and all-knowing. Like, okay, God, I know you're there. I know you're great. You're so great. We're nothing. You're awesome. You know, like, if you're actually talking to a person, they're like, whoa, shut up. Like, I don't know. Why are you yeah, okay. You're set. Like, I guess those things are true, but why are you repeating them to me? Also, I know everything. Why are you talking to me? Why do you even do... Why do you do anything? I know it all already. You know, like, it's just such an... It's so obvious that you're talking to a psychotic, like, part of your brain that you're convincing that part of it. You know, you're like, God, you're so great. You're, you know... I don't know how people don't... How? I don't... How is religion here? I don't know. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went... And now he's saying God. You're talking to God. Why are you saying God? Whom God went to redeem for people to himself and make in him a name and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. Also, how does he know in this particular part of the Bible not to respond to David? Because he usually does. Isn't he talks to David, right? How is he like, do you want me to answer that? Or he's, you know, because David's saying, what was he saying? David's saying like, and what one nation is like thy people? And God's like, do you want me to answer that? Or is that you just, so I'll just butt out. I'll just let you talk, right? Is that what you want? I mean, you're asking me questions. I feel... compelled to answer the questions you're asking, but you seem to want to just prattle on, which is fine. Just, you know, give me a heads up, because sometimes you want me to talk to you, sometimes you don't. You know, I'm busy up here. I got a lot of golf to play. Got a lot of antiques to antique. I don't know what verb collect sell something. You know, I got stuff to do. So, you know, it's fine that you want to ask me things, but I don't know. Are you asking me, or are you just saying things and then? And then I'm, what, am I supposed to just sit here? And I don't get it. Why are you talking at me? Answer me. excuse me. So yeah, I don't get it. How does he know not to answer now? And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. God's like, yeah, I said that. I'm going to do that. Why are you, yeah, I pay attention to you for this, telling me things I already know. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying the Lord. Yeah, I know what's going to happen forever. I know forever. I'm in the time of forever. I've already. What? Why? That's what. Eventually, that's what would happen, right? If you were God, you'd be so annoyed, so annoyed. And you, being God, you have infinite capacity for being annoyed, right? So that, you know. For Lord, I think we're getting close to done. It's two more chapters, but they're... No, actually, three more chapters, but they're really short. For thou, O Lord of horses, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. It's the end of chapter 7. Let's blow through these stupid next chapters. They're short. This has been going on forever. Chapter 8. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines. Well, I guess 45 minutes, whatever. And subdued them. And David took Methegimma out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured, he had put to death. And with one full line, keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. There's a great note here, just real quickly. It said here, the cause of the war with the Moabites, who had been very friendly with David, and of this severe treatment, is not known. That's it. Like, yeah, okay. So no one knows why he massacred and enslaved these people. But no one's questioned it. You're the first one to bring this up. That's what the note said. You're the first one to think of this. And David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots. He just had on him 1,000 chariots. I got these, 1,000 chariots in my pockets. You want them? Smite thee, and then took them. David huffed all the chariots' horses, but reserved for them 100 chariots. I don't know. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadadezer, the king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. And then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. Gifts, moving pictures that then repeat. Obviously, you know what gifts are. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer. And I think his name was Hadadezer, but someone had a stutter. Hadadezer. King David took exceeding much brass. It's a lot of brass. Exceeding much brass? Hey, how much brass did David take? Exceeding much brass. Oh, that's a lot of brass. That is... I can't think of a way to express that quantity of brass. Exceeding much. Yeah, you're right. That's the only way to say it. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the host of Hadadezer, then Toi sent Joram, his son, unto King David to salute him and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and smitten him, for Hadadezer had wars with Toi, T-O-I, by the way. And Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass. Which also King David did dedicate. I had a joke, but I'm going to skip it. I forgot to make it, so who cares? It wasn't funny. Which David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all the nations which he subdued. Of Syria and of Moab and of the children of Ammon and of the Philistines and of Amalek and of the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David gat him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom he put garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants. So this is basically this chapter is him conquering different lands. Who cares? It's not going to matter in the long run. We're all going to die anyway. Who cares what places he conquered? They're all dead now. It doesn't matter. And David reigned over all Israel. And David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host. And Jehoshaphat, oh, I love that name. Jehoshaphat, the son of Elihud, was recorder. He just had a recorder. Burr, 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 burr. He just played terrible songs. Recorder, the instrument that somehow everyone had to play when they were young. Or at least me. I don't know. In school. Burr, 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 burr. That'd be like a song you'd learn. Like, good job. Terrible song. So Ahilud was recorder. I don't know what that means, but it probably has something to do with what I just said. I'm 100% sure. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests. And Seraiah was the scribe. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief rulers. Okay, end of chapter 8, on to chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said to him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And this made me laugh actually out loud when I read it, because I think it quite unintentionally executed some incredibly funny misdirection. I don't know if you guys pay attention or listen to me at all. Ugh, never listen to me, but if you did, you would have... No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if you could catch it. It's really hard to hear this difficult language and know exactly what it's saying. If you do, then I salute you, which I can physically do. But he said, so essentially he's like, "Man, I wonder," because he's super duper gay and Mrs. Jonathan, his gay lover. He's like, "I wonder if there's anyone of Jonathan's house left that I could honor and, you know, treat well and make up." Or Saul's house, actually, for Jonathan's sake, he said, not Jonathan's house, sorry. And it says there was one of the house of Saul, a servant. And so naturally, I was like, oh, he's going to treat this servant well. You know, he's like, there is one. There's a servant. And so he goes to the servant. He goes up to the servant. And he's like, "Hey, servant, do you know anyone left of the house of Saul that I could treat nicely?" I just thought it was like, I expected that he was going to do, you know, like give the servant some food or something. But he's like, "Hey, servant, do you know anyone that I could treat nicely from the house of Saul?" And the servant's like, "What? Yeah, there's one guy." He's like, "Oh, okay, thanks. I'll go find that guy." And he's like, "Guards, hey, could you murder that servant now that we're done with him? Just and shit on his grave and whatever, kick him in the face." Like, yeah, anyway, he, you know, and let's go find this guy he talked about, though. anyway, I thought that was funny. And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And they didn't kill him yet, but they're going to. And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodbar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodbar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did rever, and he died right there. And I was like, "Ah, man, I was going to try to treat this guy well," and he fell on his face and died. He did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and my lover's, my friend's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." He's like, continually? I mean, I can only eat so much bread. Thanks. I mean, I want to eat some bread, but do I have to, I just keep eating bread till I die of bread poisoning? Just explode in a weedy, can't think of the word yeast. I'm stupid. A yeasty, like, puff explosion of bread. Continually. No, you will eat bread continually. I will make you eat bread forever till you die of bread. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and all his house. Thou, therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and shall bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat." The guy's like, "God damn it. So you treating this guy well equals me doing all this stuff for him. Okay, it must be nice to be the king." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And when David found that out, he's like, "Oh yeah, screw that. Never mind. I'm not gonna have all your sons." Now I said all your sons, but I didn't know you had that many sons. How many sons does a servant have? God, I mean, I'm the king, so I have 800,000 or 900,000 sons. But you're a servant. How many sons? Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And no H, though. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Probably from all the eating, the overeating. Good, that's a problem right there. You know, he was fine until the king's like, you will eat, and you will continually eat, and you will not stop eating. He's like, ugh, my feet, I can't feel them anymore. I've eaten too much bread. So that's the end of chapter 9. We had chapter 10, but it's a boring, quick one, so I'm going to try to get through it, because this has gone on, frankly, long enough. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will shew kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father shewed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon, and the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the... Okay, so what happened was David sent these servants to appease this guy and to be like, hey, want to be friends, hang out, do some stuff? And the guy is like, these servants are here to spy. And so he took David's servants and shaved off one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even under their buttocks, and sent them away. It is a funny image, you have to admit. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. I don't blame them. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. But what about our garments? They're not going to grow back. Ah, whatever. Your butts are going to hang out. That's how that's going to happen. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rahab and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and the king of Mekah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the hosts of mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and Rehob and Ishtob and Makkah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hands of Abishai, his brother. This is basically, I don't know if you're listening, but it's just ways he's conquering places that no one cares about again, like I said. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage. They're just double teaming these guys, two different armies at a time. Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him under the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadarezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam. And Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. You can see why I didn't write anything down for this chapter. This is not interesting. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with them. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made a peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. And that's the end of this reading. All right. So I'm really frustrated that it just will seriously not let me share this on my page. It only shares it on the stupid dummy account that handles my page. And it's highly frustrating. I'm going to put a link, and thank you if you got this far in the video. If you're on the audio, check out the Facebook, facebook.com/T and the B, I believe. please join. I'm going to verify that because I'm so stupid. I forget already. Yeah, T and the B, I think. What was I saying? Oh, F this podcast. Yeah, that's another. That one's funnier, far funnier than this one, and less Bible. So that's good. But it seems like you guys like the Bible, so, so I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah, so please check that out. Please rate me on iTunes. I'm number 5 on iTunes right now. I know that changes all the time. It depends on when other podcasts release episodes and stuff like that. But cool, number 5 is as high as I've ever gotten, I think. So let's keep that going. And oh, also I was going to say, anyone who has a podcast that's, you know, has more than, let's say, 50 listeners. Yeah, if you want to cross-promote, if you want to do, I'll be glad to go on anyone's podcast ever, by the way. And if you want to do that, I'll cross promote yours with mine, etc. Want to get out there more, get more listeners, all that. I'd be happy to do that. So let me know, drop me a line at comments@thomasandthebible.com, comments@thomasandthebible.com. And thank you very much. And I will see you next show.